Last week, Scottish voters defeated a proposal to separate Scotland from the United Kingdom. Now they need to figure out how to move ahead, working with the London-based British government. People around the globe watched the Scottish referendum, but Canadians paid particular attention. Given the Canadian history with Quebec, they know a thing or two about separatist movements there. Vancouver Sun columnist Vaughn Palmer's with us once again. And Vaughn, when the dust settled last week and it was clear the nays had it, what went through the minds of your fellow Canadians?
Well, I think the first was relief because it is the mother country, and I think most Canadians wanted the United Kingdom to remain united. There are an awful lot of Scots Canadians who might have felt a little differently about that, but I think that was the general thing, was that it was probably good news that the separatism had not triumphed in Scotland. But, of course, the other side of it is, as Canadians know very well, it's never over. We've been dealing with aspirations for independence on the part of French Canadians and the province of Quebec most of our lives now. Most Canadians are familiar with it, going back to the 1960s. We've had two referendums. And even though it ebbs and flows, the sentiment for separation, most Canadians recognize it's never going to go away. So we expect, we look at it from a distance, that the Scots will be back one of these days, too, with this issue. The other thing, of course, is that the UK is embarked on an experiment in federalism, if you hear Prime Minister David Cameron right. talk about it. And we know something about federalism in Canada, and that can be a struggle, too, because there's always a tension between the central government and the idea of devolution of powers.
Well, David Cameron talked about an experiment in federalism, but as far as I've seen, there aren't a lot of specifics about how much power he's willing to give the Scots in terms of spending their own money or determining things that they feel are pertinent to themselves. How I know that Canada has a long history of it, so what words of advice do the more experienced Canadians have for both the Scots and the Brits?
Careful. Prudent. You know, there's an irony here, Marcy, and that is that the two experiments in federalism that the British may wish to look at are both former British colonies. Australia has provinces and a form of federalism, central government, but states as well, and of course Canada has a central government mm-hmm. and provinces. Now, I mean, they may not look at the example of the United States, since that's a bit of a painful memory for the British still. But the interesting thing is that the United Kingdom devolved powers to those two colonies, but did not do it themselves. They still have a strong federal system, a much stronger. They don't really have a federal system. Mm-hmm. They have a central government. Now, they've embarked on some local autonomy, and, of course, you're hearing more calls for it. I think there'll be no escaping the need to do some of it, and perhaps they may wish to look at the good points and some of the bad points of the Canadian model. There certainly is a lot of tension within the Canadian Federation. It's recognized as being a fairly loose federation. Some ways Canadian provinces have more autonomy than U.S. states, so there certainly is. We're one example, Australia's another. And the only thing, as I say, be careful, take your time, but recognize that this feeling, once this notion of separating, of getting more power locally away from the central government, once that idea is loose within your country, it's probably not going to go away.
I'm speaking with Vancouver Sun columnist Vaughn Palmer, with his own slight Canadian accent, joins us.
Nonsense. You have an American accent.
Yeah. Well, another event took place on Friday, which is that Canada's Museum for Human Rights opened, and it sounds like what should have been a touchy-feely moment was not.
Well, let's just call it an education in human rights and leave it at that. The Museum for Human Rights, they say, it's a $350 million structure in Winnipeg, stunning architecturally, probably well worth a visit, although I haven't been there myself, but a lot of controversy, complaints that it doesn't strike the right balance on human rights. I'll give you a couple of examples. representatives of Canada's Indigenous people think the museum puts too much emphasis on human rights atrocities elsewhere, the Holocaust, for example, Rwanda, and doesn't pay enough attention to the sad treatment of Canada's First Nations, of our Indigenous people. There have been complaints as well that the Palestinian cause is slighted. There are many, many Ukrainian Canadians, and the Ukrainian Canadian Association thinks that the museum doesn't pay enough attention to Stalin's genocide against the Ukrainian people in the 1930s. So, as I say, the best way to put it, Marcy, is it's provided an education perhaps more than the founders imagined in the debate around human rights, and perhaps that's an education in itself.
I'm curious about the man, it was an individual man, Israel Asper, who came up with the idea for this museum. Who was he?
Izzy Asper, a fabulous character in Canadian history, politician, media mogul. For a while I worked the Vancouver Sun, the newspaper I worked for, was owned by Izzy. Human rights lawyer, a major crusader for human rights in Canada, and decided to use his fortune to found this museum, persuaded the national government and local governments to support it, and sadly died within days of the project getting its final architectural approval. So his children preside over the museum. His name is there on the door. He's a controversial figure, but, you know, there he is. And the one thing I'd say about him is he was a very lively politician. I think he might enjoy some of the debate around this issue. I don't think he would be happy to be told that his museum overlooked some human rights abuses, but I think he would see it as a dynamic and evolving debate, and so perhaps he would enjoy that part of it.
So it's a private institution, not a public museum?
Both, actually. Publicly funded. There's government money in it, and I think that's one reason why there's been some controversy associated with it. I guess I would say the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., probably had less controversy associated with it because it decided to focus on the single episode. This museum attempts to represent the five genocides that Canada recognizes historically, but it also attempts to deal with other related human rights abuses as well, and I suppose there's no balance that can be struck on that that would satisfy everyone.
Probably not a wide scope. Vaughn Palmer is with us, and Vaughn, our favorite story continues. Former Toronto Mayor Rob Ford pulled out of his election campaign, but this time the pullout wasn't due to his long history of drug abuse. He's seriously ill.
Yes, he's got a rare form of cancer. It's very virulent, and Ford has checked out of it for health reasons. His brother Doug is going to run for mayor of Toronto instead. We've said all along, because of the darker side of this story, that many people feared it was not going to end well. It's ended in a way, or developed in a way, that people didn't expect. I think most people in Toronto are cheering Ford on and hoping that some of the spirit he's shown will be useful to him, inspirational to him, helpful to him in his fight against cancer. But this is a serious development to the story, and a sad one. Not the way many of us imagined it would end.
So have Toronto residents who wanted him to leave now rethought their opinions of this politician?
I think people in Toronto, I don't think he would have won the election in Toronto anyway, although I'm no expert on Toronto city politics, but I don't think he was likely to be reelected this year anyway. I think people would have been happier if he'd just dropped out rather than for this reason. As I say, his brother, Doug Ford, who is on council in Toronto, is running again. There are two other candidates for mayor of Toronto at the moment. A fellow named John Tory is leading the race, but, you know, the election is next month, so things could change again. But, you know, as I said, people are rooting for Ford to beat cancer, and you're starting to see, you know, you're seeing commentary, Marcy, that says, look, this guy's a fighter, he's tough, we know that, he's put up with a lot, so maybe he can turn that to a good purpose, fighting for his own health.
Well, Vaughn, it's great to speak with you once again. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you again next week, Marty. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye. Vancouver Sun political writer Vaughn Palmer is a regular Wednesday guest on The Record.